Greetings of Christian love to everyone gathered here this morning. It's been a blessing to be here at church this morning so far, and trust that God will continue to speak to our hearts as we look into the Word. The whole thing of, we heard about the, now to Psalm 49 and Psalm 50 this morning, and Psalm 50 is one that really spoken to me over the years, and I still think there's a lot in there for us, but Psalm 49 is also very beneficial to meditate on. I'm glad Brother Michael took the time to read those passages for us today. Also, the subject of the Sunday school lesson, at least for the intermediates through the adults, I find fits well with what we're planning to preach on this morning. We want to go again to the book of John, and I am in chapter 12 now, and I had originally planned to preach only one more sermon out of chapter 12, but as a result of some things this week, it just seemed, I had a conversation with a brother on Wednesday evening, and after I got off the phone, I just began to think about some verses, and also I was reading in John 12, and I just thought, you know what? I think the sermon this morning is going to be Walk in the Light. It kind of goes in hand with what we're studying in the Sunday school lessons these days. And I trust that we're not too laborious in going over some of these things, but I'm pretty concerned about it this morning. And I think by the time we're done this morning, you will understand why. Because there is that need, and you and I always have, every day that we live, to walk in the light. To get as a basis for what we're going to speak about this morning, I'd just like to take the time to read John chapter 12, and although I think I've read some of these verses before, we're going to just catch a little of the context, because it's been a while since we were here, and I would like to just see the theme in John 12 of walking in the light. I'm going to begin now in verse 35, John 12, 35. It says here, "Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom shall the arm of the Lord, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, and they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief elders also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words," we'll stop reading there. The idea of walking in the light. Jesus says, yet a little while is the light with you. Jesus, when he was here on the earth, said, I am the light of the world. And he late at another occasion turns around and says, ye are the light of the world. And there is a period of time when light is in the world. But we anticipate a time when light will not be in the world. There, what happens whenever God's people are taken out of the world scene? What happened when Noah's family was entered into that ark and was carried upon the waves of the flood? There was a time of when there was light, and then the light was removed from the scene. And I know that there's probably differences of opinion on that, but when Jesus was here in the earth, he was the light. And as he left, he sent a comforter to be with his people. And his people are now, as it were, lights in the world. There's numbers of scriptures that talk to us about that. In Psalm 43, verse 3, it says, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, unto thy tabernacles. We see the idea of a person asking God to show me the light for my path so I know where to go and which direction in life to take. And those things we stand in need of every day. And when God gives us light, he usually gives us light for a day at a time. Today we do this. And it's God's will for me to do this today. And tomorrow, the path just continues. There are times when we find ourselves in some dead-end streets and we got to find out where to go from here. But whenever we get to one closed door, God usually opens a door some direction. And as we go through those doors, we find light for the journey. We find grace for each day. And that light comes as we walk in the light. And we need that from day to day. But we will just want to focus a bit more on this thing of light. In the beginning, God made light on the first day of creation. God is light. It says God is light at one place, and in him is no darkness at all. By the same token, there is physical darkness and spiritual darkness. There's spiritual light and physical light. There's also spiritual darkness and physical darkness. Physical darkness is part of God's plan for the natural world to give a rest to all living creatures and plants, and for the nocturnal creatures to fulfill their place in the ecosystem. But we know very well that if there were only darkness, life would quickly die in the world and cold would envelop us rapidly. Physically speaking, light is so essential for life and warmth. Without it, almost nothing would exist. So we're thinking about this thing of the generalities of light. Light versus darkness. Spiritual light, spiritual darkness. Physical light, physical darkness. Now let us look at spiritual darkness. Where did it begin? It began when Lucifer was lifted up in pride and was cast out of heaven. We know the story in Genesis 3 where the serpent came and tempted Eve and tried to make it sound as though God was depriving them of something good by the restrictions he had placed upon them and hindering their happiness. As they partook of the forbidden, their consciences were immediately enlightened that they had done wrong. They immediately sewed fig leaves together, and as God arrived for his visit, they hid from him. That evening visit, when he came to walk with them, which I suppose might have been the morning for that matter, he come to walk with them in the cool of the day, it says. And whenever they sensed him coming around, they tried to hide from him. An impossibility, because with God there is no way of hiding. God's in all places present. This idea of hiding and shadow living has been a common problem in humanity ever since the fall of man. As we know, this is where sin and spiritual darkness, sickness, both physical and spiritual, death began for the human race. Sickness and both physical and spiritual death began at that point. All are born with a sinful nature. All people who get to the age of accountability and choose to continue living in sin and selfishness are part of those in spiritual darkness. We go over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I realize we could expound even on that verse and go to all kinds of places there with that and where all that takes us. But it talks about darkness there. Spiritual darkness. There is a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. Both vie for our allegiance. And there's people here this morning that are probably struggling with that very thing. The powers of darkness want your heart and soul, and the powers of light want your heart and soul. And so who do we serve this morning? And the call of God to his people this morning is, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. We'll walk in the light or we'll walk in the darkness. We make that decision by the way we live every day. When someone who has known the ways of the Lord and then turns back to a life of sin and ungodliness, he begins to walk in darkness. By the same token, if a person turns from darkness and turns to the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, he can be saved and walk in the light. And you and I, everyone sitting here today that is at the age of accountability or above, is either walking in one or the other. We're either walking in light as he is in the light, having fellowship with him and with one another, or we're walking in darkness. God is a God of light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5 teaches us, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and 9 and verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Apostle Paul, speaking to the church at Thessalonica, said, ye are all the children of light and of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. So you and I decide this morning, carrying this principle right to where our Sunday school lesson was this morning, if we're walking in light or not, if we're children of darkness or not. We decide that by the way we live and by who we serve from day to day. Here we see the progression of how heavenly light of God came to earth and how God's people are changed as they walk in his light. And this concept is what we're working on this morning. There is a quest for light. There's a desire for light, a desire to know God's way. And we already mentioned that verse. Send out thy light. A person just asking God, God, show me where to go. Send out thy light and truth, and let it lead me. Let it lead me to where? Let it lead me to thy presence, to thy holy hill. And maybe for the person that said this back in the Psalms, they were thinking specifically about the ascent to Jerusalem. Because if I understand it correctly, and some of you who have visited there could maybe correct me on this, but if I remember correctly, most of the land of Israel, as you go toward Jerusalem, is like an upward climb. It's like ascending. It's going up, from what I understand. Because if you read the Songs of Degrees, it gives indication there that they lift up their eyes into the hills. But for the child of God, we are pressing on toward another holy place, heaven. Heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace, and sin can never enter there. We sing that song sometimes. And some of the realities of that, and a person wants to get there, but they need light to get there. Need light for day-by-day journey, and you and I all need that to make it there. So how does light come? How is light born in the heart of a person? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is light. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the word of God, and in him is light for you and for me. Psalm 119:130 says this, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And so the person who is seeking for light and is endeavoring to find his way needs to get a hold in some way or another of the word of God. Words of God, even though it be a small part of the word. The story is told of someone who in China was needed to use the restroom, and as they reached over to get some paper there that they needed, they found out there was some writing on this paper. They had taken some Bibles and chopped them into bits so they used them for toilet paper, if you please. And they cleaned this off and saw this word that was there, and it might have been the only thing that they had. But here there was Bible verses written there, and it began to a quest in their heart for God and for righteousness. That sounds a little crude. But God knows how to get his word into very interesting places sometimes. And a lot could be said about that. It's one of the things that it really stimulates my thinking. There's books that are written about how people in very pagan, dark cultures get to see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And that light can come to your heart and mine. And we can decide today if we walk in that light or if we will not. I've already read the verse out of John 12:46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If we have faith in Jesus, if we believe in Jesus, if we obey him, we have light in our hearts and souls. It will be that way because Jesus is light, and if Jesus is within us, he makes light shine from our hearts, from the inside out. And we can decide this morning if we will walk in that light and be that light that he wants us to be, or if we will not be. Ephesians 5:14 says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." So if we're sleeping this morning, if we're spiritually dead this morning, there comes an awakening call from the Spirit of God. And we turn our lives over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and Christ gives us the light. "Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead." The death of spiritual darkness. And it says Christ will give thee light. And that light you and I can have. And if we walk in Christ, and he abides in us, and his, if we abide in him and his word abides in us, the light can be there and can shine forth. Another question we'd like to look at is, how do we walk in the light? What does that, if we're walking in the light today and tomorrow and the next day, what does that really look like? I'd like to go to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. I don't know where I used these verses recently, but maybe it was here, but I guess it bears repeating. Psalm 89 and verse 15, it says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, and in thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted." If you this morning, if I this morning know the Lord, it's a joyful sound in our generation. It says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound." And those people that know the joyful sound of the Word of God and walk in that light from day to day, it says they will walk in the light of his countenance. They will walk in the way that he has designated. And in thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. The highway of holiness we read about in Isaiah 35. It is the way that God wants his people to be. The place he wants them to walk in. Walking in the light of God's countenance while rejoicing in righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 105, a verse we could all say together. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Walking in the light of the word. Reading the word from day to day. Studying the word and doing what it says to do. It is so basic and yet so hard for the flesh. If we are bent on carnality, it starves interest in Bible reading. If we are bent on worldliness, it takes away the desire to serve Christ. And somehow when we walk in the light and have a hunger for the word, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled," the Bible says. That's one of the famous Beatitudes. A hunger and thirst for righteousness, a hunger and thirst for the word, the bread of life, the manna from heaven, the true bread that came down from heaven. All of that is embodied there. And walking in that light. And the entrance of those words into our hearts and minds gives light and inspiration for the journey and joy by which we can walk and serve Christ from day to day. Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." It is just a known fact that in our world, even physically speaking, if there's not light, there will not be life. The greenery that's around us right now, and the very fact that we can walk and enjoy life, if we would not have light, we could not have life either. It was already stated that if darkness were to descend upon the whole world, life would quickly be gone. Like, and it would, let's say it would, if it would stay dark and stay dark. First of all, there's not warmth there, and also there's not the light. We just depend on it. We depend on a lot more than we think we do. And the physical world is the same way. But in the spiritual sense, there is life and light are synonymous terms. They come together, light and life. And God is the author of both, incidentally. When we have God, we have light, and when we have God, we have life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We could also, instead of using the word light there, say light, because Jesus is the light of the world. If we have the Son, we have light. If we do not have the Son, we do not have light. If we do not have the Son of God in our hearts, we're walking in darkness. There's a lot about walking in the light that I don't understand, but I think the little things we do understand, we do well to take heed to them. Walk in the light while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. And that's one thing that happens. If I begin to get rebellious in my heart toward the light of God's word and toward the teaching that God gives us, and I just say, you know what, I understand it's this way, but I don't feel inclined to do that. Very, very quickly, our mind and heart changes, and our focus goes on to darkness and things that are in the shadows. And we're going to soon talking about a little of that. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. The title in my Bible over this passage says, "Walk as children of light." But I want to focus now on Ephesians 5 verse 8. "For ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." In secret, in the darkness. "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." I already said that verse, but that's the context that it's in. It's in the admonition to do not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Do not do that. But rather reprove them. You know, that's something that's not easy to do. If you walk up to somebody that's cussing and swearing and using bad language, say, "Hey, sir," or a woman for that matter, you know what? That's strong language you're using. That's a challenging thing to do. The Bible says reprove it, the unfruitful works of darkness. Have you, on this side of the house, ever walked into a business place that had evil pictures hanging on the walls and ever need to raise your voice about it? That is not an easy thing to do. I speak from a tiny bit of experience on that one. But you can either stand there, ooh, wow. You can either stand there doing that or else you can say something about it. And the one, you become part of the darkness, and the other, you speak against the darkness. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Because it's a shame to speak of things they do in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And oh, there's such a tendency within the human heart, especially if we've been a church member for so many years, just to allow a little bit of darkness, just a little bit down in there somewhere. But blessed is the person that brings it to the light and says, "This is the way it is. Here I am. I did this. It's not good. I'm sorry about it. I want to do better." Because the light of God's word shines and conviction of the Holy Spirit shines. And it's light. And it's a little bit like lifting up a board whenever there's a bunch of cockroaches and creepy crawly critters underneath that board. You lift it up, to clean up a little area. And what happens to them little bugs, or if you use the Spanish word beaches, what happens to them? They just go, whoo, they go scurrying from the darkness again. That's what happens whenever, sometimes in revival meetings, God gets a hold of somebody. Because the light of God's word is shining night by night, and the hammer of his word is breaking the hearts of stone. And sin is exposed. And the carnal person just rebels against that. But the one who wants to walk in the light of God's presence, show me more. Lead me to thy holy hill. Lead me to thy holy place, O God. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And we have the privilege of walking in the light this morning. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. This ties right in with what we were hearing this morning in our Sunday school class. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wherever that sin is darkness. Whenever there's confessed sin, there's light. Someone has said that there is no one more pure than he who just has confessed his sin. And I've often repeated here, especially at time of council service, that a Christian is one who sins less and less, yet confesses more and more. I trust that there's young men here and young ladies here and older ones of us sitting here that maybe 5 years ago this area of our lives would have been, well, just the way it is. But today, if we were to do or say that word or that action or whatever it is, that it would just bother us more than it would have years ago, because as we come closer to the brilliance and the understanding of God's perfect will for my life, we begin to see more and more of God's holiness, of our defects. And we want to be more like him. He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That was part of our Sunday school lesson this morning. The idea of purifying. The idea that I want to have more light shining into this poor human heart. To be more like Christ from day to day. It's what we need. And without it, we go wrong. Without it, we walk in darkness. And without it, we become accustomed to shadow living, as I've coined the term, living in the shadows. 1 John 2. I know we were just here in our Sunday school classes, but we'll just read a bit of it again. Whoso abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil committeth sin from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and cannot sin, for he is born of God. See, am I on the right passage there? I guess I am. Going to go over to, that was John 3, verses that are applicable. He that abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him, and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. From the time Jesus Christ came into the world, the true light shines. The true light shines, and it shines here, and it shines there, and it shines wherever his word goes. And as the Spirit of God moves in the hearts and lives of men and moves across the face of the waters or the world where we live, the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. In other words, there was a time when people would have had an excuse to do wrong. Maybe they didn't know. In the time of their ignorance, it says in Acts chapter 17, in the times of their ignorance, God winked at, but now he commandeth every man to repent. And why? Because Jesus Christ came, the light came. And there is no more sacrifice for sin. The true light now shineth. And he that saith, he is in the light, and hateth his brothers in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Brother Darvin Haldeman preached a sermon a couple years ago, Walking in the Shadows. And it's just a tendency that we all struggle with at some point. Whether it's our viewing habits or our music habits, or whether it's our the quirks of our patience or lack of it, or anger or lack of it, or whatever word you want to use, those little emotions that grab a hold of us sometimes, things of jealousy, covetousness. You know, those are real issues. And I suppose there's no one sitting here that doesn't struggle with it somewhere, sometime. Going back to the basics of those feelings of ungodliness, jealousy, anger, impatience. And at what point do we just allow too much of that in our hearts sometimes? Shadow living. And as soon as there's a little darkness, as soon as there's a shadow there, it makes room for more wrong. So if I become angry, I try to find, medicate that anger. But I don't medicate it or take care of it in God's way. If I'm walking in the shadows and I want to live in darkness, I take care of that anger in another way. And if jealousy's my problem, or covetousness, or a love for immorality, as soon as there's a little shadow, there's soon a cloud, and soon a darkness descends upon my heart. If I give place to the devil, and if I allow that evil to get a little foothold in my life. And believe it, if the devil once takes a finger, he sometimes gets the whole hand. He is very apt at doing that. We already read those verses here in 1 John chapter 2. He that saith, he is in the light and hateth his brother. Oh no, we wouldn't say I hate you. No way, we wouldn't say that. But you know, yeah, he's a little special. We all knew that for a long time already. And then that type of attitudes that come out. Yeah, well, they just really think they stepped up in this world because of the stuff they just got there. That she just got a brand new kitchen. Yeah. She's got it all put together now, huh? And those attitudes never crossed our minds, I guess, huh? But what do we do with that kind of thing when it comes? He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. He that hateth his brother abideth in darkness. I guess that includes sisters too. And we allow that little bit of animosity, that little misunderstanding that occurred back there, it just casts a shadow over our life, and little by little we become accustomed to walking in darkness. Let's be conscientious about our brotherhood relationships. It's so easy to slip into sub-Christian standards of living in this very area. In Matthew 18, I have a little something with that brother there, but now I talk to him about it. I can live with that. It's no big deal. And we get those kind of attitudes. And pretty soon, we find ourselves, I go to church, you know, I'll go to church, but won't try to visit with anybody because... And those little things, they start small, little shadows, temptations that we just give a little bit of room to. And very quickly, the life changes from light to darkness. James still teaches us, speak not evil one of another, brethren. And Jesus makes it pretty clear in Matthew chapter 5. I know that these verses you all know very well, but it applies right here. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You go over to chapter 6, it says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And my Bible has an exclamation point behind that. How great is the darkness? Whenever I allow these things that we've been talking about, that shadow living, allowing those temptations to get a hold of us and take us down a wrong road, how long does it take until the light that was in us become darkness? If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness when the darkness takes over the life of a believer, and it happens. The Bible teaches us that in the last days the love of many shall wax cold. And how does it happen? It happens in the very way that we're describing this morning. I know that there's more to it than just that. And a lot of practicals could be given here. The myth of serving God and mammon at the same time. Somehow we still think we can do that. Jesus says we cannot do it. But when we try to serve God and mammon at the same time, it is so easy to become part of the workaholic syndrome on one hand, or in the dishonesty part on another hand, or covetousness. And Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness. Why? Because the abundance of a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. It does not consist in that. Life truly consists in having the light of Jesus in my heart, and contentment and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. That's where life is. Not in how much stuff we have. So something I need to remember sometimes. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 13. It says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill those lusts. In these two verses, it enumerates various things are mentioned, and they're very prominent in our world today. You look at the true meanings of chambering, wantonness, strife, envyings, drunkenness, rioting. That goes on around us all the time, almost every day. In society, it goes on all the time. And some of these things have a stronger pull on us than we want to realize. But any one of these things has a lot stronger pull on us. The temptation is a lot stronger if we're walking in shadows. The temptations are a lot stronger if we're anyways a little bit on edge about such and such of a brother. Such and such of an issue comes up and we're just a little bit on edge anyway. This anger problem comes up. We're anyways struggling with impurity. And very quickly, the devil can pull us down. And that's why Jesus' light needs to be within us and give us the power and the light and the life to overcome. The power of an endless life. God help us to live that way. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, it says in James 1:21. When we decide that I'm not just going to listen to the word, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to put into practice what God's word teaches me to do. It's a way that light shines. And light shines not only into my heart, but light shines out. Because we are like mirrors reflecting the light of God. Just like the moon reflects the light of the sun. Whenever I speak about shadow living, and living in those little things that come up and just begin to accustom ourselves to living in darkness, I just want to remind us of two shadows the Bible teaches us that we all must go through at some point in life. I might have mentioned these before, but because I'm talking about shadows, I want to make sure we remember it. In Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm, verse 4, it talks about the valley of the shadow of death. And each one of us, at times, we go into dark experiences. But if there's a shadow of death, and we're in living a Psalm 23 life, where are we? We're following the shepherd, right? Right? We're following the shepherd. If we're living a Psalm 23 life, we're following the shepherd. And if he provide, makes a shadow of death, he's there. He's right close by. It's not evil. It's just something that's a test and a hard time for us. And sometimes you and I go through that valley. It might be literally death in the family, loved one. It might be our own death experience when we come to death's door. It might be that of a loved one or friend. It might be a sickness. But whenever we go into that type of a shadow, we know that God is there. Because he led us there. He will take us through that experience. If it's our own death, our own deathbed, if you please, our own call to eternal glory, he's there. And very quickly, that shadow gives place to eternal light if we're faithful to him. And also, it says over there in Psalm 91 and verse 1, he that abideth in the secret place, and talks about the shadow of the Almighty. You know, there's light. God's presence is so bright that we in this body cannot see it, cannot, our physical cannot handle the light of God. And he asks us to abide in his shadow. But if we're in his shadow, we're in a pretty good place. But that is entirely different than shadow living and allowing temptation and carnality to dominate and become accustomed to ungodliness. This whole concept of light and darkness has eternal perspective also. There is eternal darkness. The Bible says at one place, Jesus speaking, he said, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. Can you think for a moment about the concept of outer darkness? Outer darkness. Darkness. That is a horrendous thought. I'm going to tell you something. Even young children have a fear of the dark. And some of us older ones do too. Why is it that you have a night light some places, like in the hallway of your house? You're just something nice about having a light there. Remember in our house in Costa Rica, a lot of times the electricity would go off at nighttime. It was often. And sometimes all we do is get a flashlight and just lay it out, and it seems like the children are a lot more calm, because something about boogie dark that no one really enjoys. They just don't like it. And how would it be to live in darkness and live in darkness and live in darkness? And that's part of what hell is. Eternal fire of outer darkness. Eternal fire of outer darkness. One of the most horrendous things it could be. And then the Bible talks about a bottomless pit. The horrors that that must entail. And not only one day or one year or one decade or one century, but eternal darkness. Outer darkness. And that darkness begins if we never, ever, ever give our lives to Christ. And that darkness begins if we at some point in our lives knew the Lord Jesus and the light of the glorious gospel, and we turn our backs on it and walk into ungodliness and never repent. That darkness begins then. Because the darkness that becomes a part of my experience by going against the will of God can carry right on into eternity if we don't repent. And then it becomes real and vivid. That outer darkness thing is something to be scared of and something to shun. The kingdom of darkness will end in eternal darkness. If we go over to the book of Revelation, verse chapter 16 and verse 14, we read something very challenging. It says, 16 and verse 10. It says, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven. And it goes on speaking there. The kingdom of darkness will end in eternal darkness. This is something horrible, and we should want nothing to do with it. But if we choose to live and walk in darkness instead of walking in the light, we will someday go there if we never repent. However, Revelation 21, to walk in the light leads us to the presence of God. We've already alluded to that. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill. Revelation 21, verse 22 says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple therein. Verse 23 of chapter 21, Revelation, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So we walk with the Lamb of God through life, walk with the Good Shepherd through life, and abide in the shadow of the Almighty in life, and say no to the carnality and the evil of society around us. We one day will see the light. We'll see the Lamb of God, which took away our sin. And with all good reason, heaven is full of acclamations. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, who hath redeemed us to God by his blood. And he is the light thereof. The Lamb of God is the light and the life. Never forget it. To walk in the light of God leads us to the presence of God. Well, there will be no more darkness, no night. And I've got to ask you a question this morning. Where are you? As you look at this subject, where are you? Are you walking in the light as he is in the light? Do you have fellowship with God's people? Are things okay between you and the Lord? Are you walking in the light this morning? Or do you just love the darkness? Do you love that temptation? Do you love that stuff that's questionable, stuff that's borderline, stuff that's there that you know you shouldn't do, but you're doing it anyway? And it might be hidden this morning. Maybe your wife doesn't know it. And maybe your preacher doesn't know it, but you know it. And it's darkness, and you know it's darkness. You don't want anyone to shine upon your heart with that light. How is it this morning in your heart before an almighty God who knows everything? Is it right or is it wrong? I just plead with us this morning to think it over. Just think about it a little bit. Am I walking in light or am I walking in darkness? I think maybe this morning we're just going to give an invitation. I didn't really plan on this, but just thinking about it, you know, this morning's sermon might be the last sermon you hear. It might be. We have no idea what happens tomorrow. We have no idea what happens between now and the time this service dismisses. This might be the last sermon you ever hear. And eternity's drawing nigh. Whether we want to believe it or not, and whether we think about it or not, one day it will either be the Lamb is the light, or it'll be outer darkness. It'll be one or the other. And you and I this morning have a privilege to make that choice. Just like to find a good song here. Mm-hmm. 547 in the church hymnal. If you know this morning that your life is a life of shadows, if you know that you're walking in darkness, you know you're not ready to meet God, I just invite you to stand to your feet. Because light's available and life is available for you and for me. Sing 547. Oh, to have no Christ, no Savior, no rock, no refuge nigh, when the dark days ground you gather, when storms sweep o'er.
o'er the sky. Oh, to have no hope in Jesus, no friend, no light in Jesus, oh, to have no hope in Jesus, how dark this world must be.
If God's speaking to your heart this morning, you may acknowledge that by standing to your feet until you're recognized. I'd like to sing second stanza.
Oh, to have no Christ, no Savior, how lonely life must be.
Life
like a sailor, lost and driven on a wide and shoreless sea.
Struggling this morning, think about verse 3. It's pretty, has powerful words here. Oh, to have no Christ, no Savior, no hand to clasp thine own. Though the dark, dark veil of shadows, through the dark, dark veil of shadows, thou must press thy way alone. And one of the horrors of eternal outer darkness is the fact that I tend to believe that because of the vastness of that area, wherever it is, it'll be a lot of loneliness. You might think that all your friends are going there, but it's a lonely place of outer darkness and eternal torment. Let's sing stanza 3.
Oh, to have no Christ, no Savior, no hand to clasp thine own. Through the dark, dark veil of shadows, thou must press thy way alone. Oh, to have no hope in Jesus, no friend, no light in Jesus, oh, to have no hope in Jesus, how dark this world must be.
I'd like to sing the last stanza yet. If God's speaking to your heart, do not delay in responding.
Now we pray thee, come to Jesus, his pardoning love receive. For the Savior now is calling at,
God bless you,
in turn to live. Come to Jesus, he will save you. He is
the friend of sinners.
And
when thou hast found
the Savior, how bright this world must be.